A new study of Ireland's local media landscape has found the rapidly growing suburbs of Dublin City are at most risk of becoming so-called news deserts. A news desert is the term used to describe areas with no news outlets and no professional journalists covering local issues and developments, where there's a great potential for disinformation and misinformation to go unchecked. We can talk more now to Dr. Eileen Cullity from the Institute for Future Media, Democracy and Society at Dublin City University. Dr. Cullity, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of people will never have heard of this term, news deserts. Will you talk to us some more about it? What defines a news desert and the potential consequences for local communities if they don't have the eyes of a professional independent media?
Sure. So the term news desert comes from the United States, where local news outlets started closing down pretty much since the early 2000s. And that left large geographical areas with no local news at all. Now, given the size of the US, what they call a local news outlet is often bigger than what we'd call a national outlet. So the term news desert makes a lot of sense in the US when you think of a massive landscape. But applying that to Europe, we tend to look at a lot of different factors. So we'd look at the nature of the media market, whether there are viable jobs in journalism, who owns the media, and so on. And the main issues are that we kind of take it for granted within democracies that there will be journalists to go into courts and report on court cases, to go into council meetings, and that's an essential part of democratic accountability. And if that reporting stops and independent records are not taken, well, then a door to corruption just creaks open. And then separate to that, when you think about the massive increase, say, in local candidates running for the local elections this year, and the massive increase in disinformation, there are just less journalists on the ground who know their own communities, who know what's going on, to investigate those things.
Yeah, but while there's a fall off in the numbers in journalism, numbers perhaps going into journalism and working journalists, there is an increase in what's called citizen journalism. There is an increase in social media posts. And you see a lot of local communities now in and around Dublin who will have Facebook pages where they are posting information. Do they go in any way to replace what you're talking about?
Not really. And one of the things that happened was the rise of Facebook, where a lot of community activities moved online. So you could go to Facebook to find out who won the under 10 football match instead of buying the local paper where all the sports results would be. So that was one trend that kind of diminished local newspapers in particular. There have been some very good alternative news outlets like the Dublin Inquirer, in particular catering to the Dublin city market, which was massively underserved. The issue with journalism is that anybody can call themselves a journalist, and they're no doubt good people who can act as freelance journalists. But there are certain institutional practices and codes of ethics and credibility and that have to be subscribed to. Mm-hmm. And so somebody just posting online doesn't have any of the responsibility of a journalist working within an organization. And that's one of the issues.
Mm. Because, I mean, you have a vibrant independent radio, local radio community right around the country, less so, I suppose, in Dublin City, which is seen more nationally. And is that why you're saying in this report, really, that Dublin and North County Dublin could be most at risk and most vulnerable?
In part, I mean, it's a feature of capital cities and the areas where capital cities are that the national media is based there, so they tend to have weaker local media. So most of the national media is based in Dublin, but it doesn't necessarily cover Dublin in the same way that local media would cover their own counties. So that's one issue. And then the other is just the population increase. That's not just Dublin, but it's most obvious in Dublin, where we have massive suburbs growing. But also other towns and cities across Ireland have the same thing. And there isn't a local media presence commensurate with that. A lot of those areas, well, they used to be served by free sheets, which are more about entertainment and local notices than news.
But what about, I want to talk to you in a minute about the RTÉ report, but just to finish with these news deserts and so on. What about initiatives now coming from the Future of Media Commission, like this investment in the coverage of courts and councils and the you know, areas where, you know, you're talking about needing eyes of professional journalists on?
Yes, there are two new schemes that are going to be led by the Media Regulatory Commission, the MAN, and that will be to fund court reporting and council reporting. How that will work in practice is still not entirely clear. And one of the principles is that it's platform neutral. So, in other words, it doesn't necessarily benefit local news outlets. And I think the real issue here is about local journalism as a job. You need to have people who live in the community and who know their own community and are able to report on it.
And finding a way to make it pay and monetize it as well. But look, I want to go on to talk about and talking of monetizing and money and investment, turning to RTE, the latest three reports coming through yesterday, over 100 recommendations. Minister Martin saying a decision on a funding model by the summer. Is the blueprint there now to move on and put that funding in place?
Well, hopefully, and nobody could argue with the reports that came out and recommendations for proper governance and proper accountability. Those things are just a bare minimum, and we can remain shocked that those things weren't in place, but they are a bare minimum for any public institution to be accountable and have good governance. So the more pressing thing is what happens with the funding model. And on the one hand, Catherine Martin says it will be defined before the summer, which sounds great. But on the other hand, we hear that it will be folded into a wider legislative package, and it's not clear that that could happen within 2 months. And there's also reports that there are disagreements within government about what the funding model should be. And all of that uncertainty, which is shocking that the government is still uncertain about what it's going to do, leaves RTE in a really bad position. Because while we've heard lots about public trust and commitment to RTE won't come about just because it has basic governance. I mean, that's what it should have anyway. It has to be because RTE is providing a meaningful service. And how's it supposed to do that if it doesn't have any certainty about its funding model?
Dr. Eileen Colletti from the Institute for Future Media, Democracy and Society at Dublin City University joining us there.